Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? I hope you had a fantastic new year. Today is Thursday, January 8th. Oh my gosh, the first week is already gone in this new year. Already things are speeding by. It felt like I was just here yesterday doing my last podcast, and now here I am late for the new year. So I hope you don't mind, or you'll forgive me, I should say. But happy new year. It's on the 8th of January, but it's still the new year, so happy new year. And I do mean this. I really hope each and every one of you has a great, fantastic new year. There's so much to talk about already. We're 8 days into this new year, and there's so much to talk about. I won't be able to get to it all. And some of the things that I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to basically just kind of brush over quickly. So you know me. I say, I'll be fast. 2 hours later, I'm still talking. The people at the church kind of get frustrated because almost every Tuesday in Bible study, my mind, and I'm sincere in this, I'm really hoping to get out at a relatively quick pace. For me personally, ladies and gentlemen, I have no problem teaching or even hearing a long, what we might call a long-winded Bible study, especially, or a preaching, whatever, ministry. If it's really real and if it's really anointed and it's really of God, the power is there and it's moving me. You know, so in my mind, let me just go 45 minutes today, you know, on a Tuesday night Bible study. Let me go 45 minutes, that's it. Hour and a half later, I'm doing my best to find a spot to wrap it up. And I've been learning, been teaching myself a little bit. It's hard. Old habits are hard to break, but I've been learning to just kind of find a nice segment to go, okay, we'll pick up from here next week and go home. But it's still, I don't like the idea of being long-winded, because that just sounds like it's a waste of time. Like I said, I can go 4 hours. We've been in some meetings, 3 hours, 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours, and it feels like 15, 20 minutes because the power of God is there. That's what I'm hoping and praying for. I'm not saying I'm there yet, but we'll get there. Or maybe I'm there, but nobody else is. Ooh, that thought just came into my head. Maybe I'm there, but nobody else is there with me. Okay, I'll just leave that one as it is. You know, the other day, I don't know, this is maybe over a week ago, so maybe 2 weeks ago, I guess it was still in the old year, 2025, but I don't even remember where it was. Maybe it was social media. But anyways, I came across a Rush Limbaugh. Somebody took a Rush Limbaugh clip of him at the Golden EIB microphone during the Rush Limbaugh show. And it was a video and audio, but video and audio, there was a little bit of video there. So anyways, I clicked on it because I really loved Rush. And you know, the unique thing about Rush Limbaugh and both Charlie Kirk had this quality about them, that most of the people that never met them, because they're only one person, they meet a lot of people because of the work that they do, but they didn't meet everybody. But many of the people, myself included, both Charlie and Rush Limbaugh, they felt like friends. So when I heard that Rush Limbaugh had passed away, and we knew that he was sick and we knew that he was struggling, but when we got word that Rush Limbaugh had passed away, it just took the wind out of my sails. It was like I lost a really, really close, good friend. Because in a weird way, he was. I never met the man personally, but I clicked with him. And please don't misunderstand this, but at a heart level, I'm not saying I agreed 100% with absolutely everything he said, but good friends don't have to. But on those important things that are truly, truly, truly important, those things that are heart-level issues, his love for America, his love for all Americans, even those who hated him, his love for them, his love for this country, his love for the people of this country, I share. And with that, it's almost like we linked arms, or in that sense, and again, please don't misunderstand me, but linked hearts in that, and we connected, or I connected with him on that level, in that sense. Charlie Kirk, the exact same thing. I was a little bit closer to Charlie than Rush, just by virtue of the people that we know, But nonetheless, the same thing. He'd get up there and he would speak and he would say something, give those hard truths. And I would find myself going, yeah, I totally agree. He took what was in my heart and put words to it and shared it to the world. I thank God that he had that platform to do that. Oh, and by the way, if you hear something in the background, okay, I have a nice office at the church, and it's quiet back where I'm at. And but it's a mess right now because I have to do some renovations in there, and I haven't gotten around to do it yet. So I just chose myself. I said, I'm just going to stay at home today, do my work at home. I'm going to do a podcast at home. So I broke out all my equipment at home. But I made the mistake of throwing in some laundry just before I sat down to do this. So you probably hear the dryer in the background. Also, this table that I'm using is just a small plastic fold-out table. Yes, this is my, you know, wild and great studio today. Now listen to this. Just pay attention for just a second. I have a coffee cup, and anytime I put it back, I pick it up and it's quiet. I put it down and it, I don't know if you heard that. I heard it in my earphones. So, you know, it probably gets to you. So I'm going to do my best to set my coffee cup down as quietly as I possibly can, not to bother you. Very good coffee. Anyways, as I was saying, there's a lot of things to talk about. Just let me throw out some things real quick of what's happened just in the last few days. We had President of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro was captured by American troops in Venezuela and brought to America to face trial. He's a really bad dude, narco-terrorist, working with China, the communists all over the world, really. China, Russia, Cuba, right there, a stone's throw from Florida. And he's been working with them really strong. And, you know, finally, President Trump, and this should have happened several presidents ago, but President Trump finally said, enough's enough with this guy. You know, we were blowing up those narco-terrorist boats from Venezuela filled with drugs. And, you know, the left didn't like that. Okay, so check this out. I don't understand this, really. I really don't understand this. I do not understand, and I'm not complaining about this, because I'm not sure I want to, but I do not understand how the liberal mind thinks. I almost said how the liberal mind works, but it clearly doesn't work. So I'm just going to use the word thinks. I don't understand how the liberal mind thinks. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not even trying to make, you know, take a jab or anything. I'm just, this is truth. This is me. I'm just sharing my heart with you. Now, let me tell you why. So Maduro, president of Venezuela, sanctions and makes sure that all this fentanyl, especially, not just fentanyl, but cocaine and all these different things, but fentanyl especially, coming in from China and other places, fentanyl primarily from China, it funnels through Venezuela. So China's making money off of it. Venezuela, Maduro is making money off of it. He's a crooked guy. The people there hated him and were under such oppression. But anyways, so Chinese drugs and other places, not just China, come through Venezuela. They load them up on these speedboats, big speedboats, open-hull speedboats, all these drug barrels, I should say, and bales of all these drugs, different kind of drugs, mostly fentanyl, some cocaine. And they speed, when I say speedboat, some of those, they were showing some of the pictures, and they have up to 7 high-power, high-output outboard engines. 7 of them. And they zoom across the Gulf of America, ladies and gentlemen, into America. Now, do they get straight here from Venezuela? Probably not. They probably bounce through several Caribbean islands, most likely Cuba, before they get here one way or another. But nonetheless, that's kind of the rallying point was Venezuela. And Venezuela, Maduro was always a problem to us. More ways than you know. And anyway, so President Trump said, I have enough. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to snatch that dude up so he can face trial. And it will give Venezuela kind of that, a more of a clean slate to kind of start afresh, in their government. So anyways, that happened, you know, and now Venezuela, again, I don't know how the liberal mind thinks. So we're first blowing up these drug boats, and they're clearly drug boats. When you see the pictures, when you see the video, when you see all of the stuff that's going on, you know clearly that's a drug boat. They say, no, it's just a fishing boat. Fishing boats, ladies and gentlemen, do not have seven outboards with an open hull filled with barrels and bales. You know what a bale, I'm not talking about bales of hay, where it's a bunch of hay strapped together with baling wire. I'm talking about bales of drugs, the cocaine, the fentanyl, heroin, and other things. I think one of them was loaded up with marijuana, which doesn't make sense to me because now it's legal. They grow it here. But nonetheless, it's loaded up with all this stuff, and they're putting it in plastic. You know, they're wrapped in plastic and then baled up like plastic bales full of drugs. And you can clearly see this. This is clear. You know, I mean, it is clear as day. So Trump says, I'm tired of this. We warned them over and over and over and over again. So he ordered our military to just pop them and blow them up. And we have been. You know, and you would think that after maybe two, maybe three boats being blown up, that they would stop sending these boats because it's like, hey, we're getting pretty good at this. You know, we're taking them out. And but they kept sending them. We kept blowing them up. But the liberals here, you would think that they actually worked for these communist regimes in these communist countries. The liberals here were upset that we were blowing up boats filled with drugs that has led to many, 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 many American deaths. Ladies and gentlemen, give me just a moment as I'm going to try to keep talking to you, but as I look this up, I am going to do a quick search. How many people died from drug overdoses? Let's see what this says. And that's all I typed in, how many people died from drug overdoses. And it says, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. And I did not plan this. It just popped into my little cranium, and I thought I would do this. So how many people died from drug overdoses? In 2023, so this is going back, well, really 2 years, because we're barely into 2026, so two to 3 years. 105,007 people died from drug overdoses in the United States. This figure equates to a rate of 31.4 overdose deaths per 100,000 population. Let's see. Yeah. So over 100,000 people in the United States in 2023 died from overdoses, from drug overdoses. Now, that could be prescription drugs. We know that. It doesn't mean that all of the drugs that killed 100,000 people came from those boats from Venezuela. But, you know, I'm going to use the liberals' tactics or mindset on this. It's weird because it's so foreign to me. In my head, I said that and my head started hurting automatically anyways. But they say this about gun control. You know, when there's some kind of shooting and they press for gun control, not to take guns out of the hands of criminals. They just want the guns out of hands of honest people. Like they would be happy to come and take my guns, though I've never shot anybody, nor have I ever even pointed my gun at anybody in anger. And so they just want to come and take my guns. Why? Because some criminal shot somebody with a gun. So come and take my guns. The liberal mindset is not normal. I mean, really, I say liberal mind, it's more like mindless. Anyways, so I'm going to use theirs. Because they say this about gun control. Well, if getting guns out of the hands of people can just save one child's life, isn't it worth it? Trying to what do they call that? Gaslight us into going, oh, yeah, I own guns and they stay in a locked safe and I don't ever pull them out and point them at people, but I'm part of the problem because some guy 10 states over who was a mentally ill liberal shot some people. I, as a altogether conservative, have to give up my guns or I'm a bad person. Because getting guns off the street, if he even saves one child, it's worth it. Which I would say, yes, but taking guns away from decent people is not going to protect anybody's life because it's not decent people that are causing the problems. So now they're all up in arms because we have been blowing up drug boats to keep the drugs from coming to America and other places. Not just America, but to our soil and to other places. Why? So that 100,000 people won't die every year from drug dose overdoses. So let's just use the liberal mindset, the liberal logic, if you could even call it that. Because they get mad at this. They don't want the boats blown up. They want us to go over there, arrest these guys, seize the drugs, bring them in, and spend more tax dollars in courts and all of that instead of just blowing them out of the water. Because they're murderers. 100,000 people were murdered through these drugs that they keep pouring in. And the liberals are upset that we're stopping them. Okay, but liberals and anybody else, let me do my own gaslighting here. But if blowing up these drug boats, these narco-terrorist drug boats filled with murderous fentanyl, murderous cocaine, murderous heroin, if it could just save one American life, it's worth it. If taking out Maduro is going to save one American life, it is worth it. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, liberals. You don't want to be a hypocrite on this, do you? You say this about gun control, and you even say this, which is weird. This is the double-mindedness of liberals, ladies and gentlemen. Again, this popped into my little cranium, so let me share this with you. Isn't it funny that they say the same thing about abortion? If you keep abortion, they call it safe and legal, it will save lives. It's nothing to laugh at except their stupidity is something to laugh at. Okay, so abortion. What is abortion? The murder of the unborn. It's taking a life. Abortion is all about taking a life. So let me put it this way. If we keep taking the life of the unborn, destroying, killing, murdering the unborn, if we keep that safe and legal, it will save the life of the murderers going to the abortion clinic. I mean, does that even make sense, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, honestly, does that, the twisted, double-minded, wicked mindset of these liberals is mind-boggling. Decent people do not think this way. Decent people are not this wicked. Decent people are not this twisted. So liberals will dance in the streets when a woman chooses to murder her own baby. They will protest in the streets when someone like Maduro, who is a narco-terrorist, communist narco-terrorist, murderer thug, tin horn thug, is captured by the U.S., they will protest. I just was seeing some clips where these knuckleheads are in the streets waving signs saying things like, release Maduro, turn Maduro loose, let him go. What planet do you guys live on? Honestly, what planet? Anyways, if taking out these drug boats would just save one American life, one father, one mother, one child, isn't it worth it? Liberals, isn't it worth it? Oh, no, but we're going to take away guns from good law-abiding citizens. Anyways. So, again, Maduro, Venezuela has been taken. And a lot of the good things are happening now in Venezuela. And I know that they're in for some trying times because there's going to be people vying for his position. There's going to be a lot of uprisings. There's going to be a lot of push and pull. And as President Trump said, and I totally agree with this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that the U.S. is stepping in and we're taking control of Venezuela. Excuse me, Venezuela, their government, until they can figure out a decent government, governmental president, if you will, to run that country. Until then, we're staying. And here's what also happened. And ladies and gentlemen, this is so... Actually, I've been having fun with this. You know, so again, the liberal people, and unfortunately, a lot of people that think they're conservative but are really blue-haired liberals, you know, in hiding. Oh, it's just about the oil. He just wants their oil. Before I go on with this, because I want to clarify something in just a second, because I put on Facebook a post, you know, liberals are going to say it's all about the oil, blah, 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 you know, and it literally took less than 2 hours from that post before some knucklehead started posting, yeah, it's only about the oil. They don't realize I totally baited them. Okay, I totally baited them because I'm going to be honest with you. Now, you have to follow me on this, okay? You just have to follow this train of thought, this way of thinking. Don't think so small on these matters. This is international. This is worldwide. Don't think so small. So on the one hand, is it really about the oil? Well, I want to say yes, but please stay with me because you're going to realize that the oil that was seized was no more than bait to catch bigger fish. So was it about the oil? Yeah, in a way. It was so that the United States had the bait, which is the oil, to catch bigger fish. Let me explain this to you, Lucy's. I don't know if you guys get that. Remember Ricky Ricardo? Lucy, you got some splaining to do. So anyways, I picked up on that a long time ago, and people are like, why does he say that? Anyways, let me do some splaining. So Venezuela is very rich in oil, very, very rich in oil. But going as far back as the 1970s, one of the things that the United States did in Venezuela was pretty much build their oil production and their gas. I guess they do gas, but it doesn't matter. Oil production infrastructure, refineries, the pipelines and all that. America was behind most of it, if not all of it, American oil companies. And by virtue of that, American. We had contracts with Venezuela and such. I don't want to get into all the details of it because that could just be boring. But nonetheless, so a lot of that oil was technically ours, belonged to the United States. Now, they had a communist. They voted in a communist. They voted in a communist. So I hate to say it like this. I really do feel sorry for the Venezuelan people. But they pretty much put themselves in this position. Going back several years, many years, They voted in a communist, and that communist did what communists do, made it a living hell for the Venezuelan people, took the whole entire oil industry and took it by the government for the government, took it out of the hands of the Venezuelan people, took it away from the American people. Now, America back then should have marched in there and said, listen, you guys voted for this, guys, you can do, but not our stuff, not our stuff. We're going to protect ourselves. But America didn't. And so president after president, dictator after dictator, we get to this place. Now, Maduro, the present president, he was using that oil to fund his narco-terrorism. He was working very closely with China. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, when the American forces went in there and snatched Maduro up, there was Chinese delegates in Venezuela to meet with Maduro. So we did this right under their nose while they were in the country. I think that's brilliant. It sends a powerful, powerful message to China. Don't mess with us. Okay, but Chinese was working with Maduro for oil. It was like this, you know, oil drug exchange, and they were all working together. Big crime family. Russia was in on it. Cuba was certainly in on it. As a matter of fact, when Trump was talking about all of this and he was making it known, the world knew, Maduro knew we were coming for him. He didn't know the exact when, but he knew. So he had some like kind of secret, if you will, bodyguards, almost like a secret service kind of thing, bodyguard. And they were all Cuban nationalists. So Cuba was in on this. And there was other ones. There was like Brazil. They were in on it. Russia, China. So China and Russia were the big ones. Cuba was also a kingpin. And there was other bunch of little tin horn nations that were in on all of this stuff. And it needed to be broken up. It really needed to be broken up. But what was that sole central thing that kept them all together? Oil. Venezuelan oil. Russia needs it. China needs it. The other nations, Cuba certainly needs it. Other nations around Venezuela need it. So it was the oil. So when we went in there, was it about the oil? Yes and no. Again, in the immediate, yes, control the oil. Why? Because we're going to use that oil. We're using that oil to catch bigger fish and to put them in their place. Russia, China, Cuba. Now, if you've been paying attention, Cuba has no gas, no oil. They're suffering over there. And, you know, I have a feeling that Cuba's going to be next, or one of the ones that Trump goes after next, because Cuba has been run by these dictators and the people there are suffering. And if you say, no, they're not. See, here, this is the way the communists did it, because I have been in communist countries. And they set their, usually their capital, you know, China with Beijing, Cuba with Havana, you know, and those types of places. And they look really nice. They look like it's capitalist paradise. Okay? They look like they are capitalist paradises. And people look at that and they go there and they visit and they vacation and they see the pictures and they see the videos on social media and stuff and say, see, China isn't so bad. Russia isn't so bad. Cuba isn't so bad. This beautiful little island nation. Do you see how beautiful Havana is? What they don't tell you is what's going on behind the scenes. Like in Cuba, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, Cuba. So what's going on in Cuba is who are doing really well in Cuba? Well, of course, the government. President, government officials. So the communists on the high levels are doing very well. A lot of the businesses in Havana are doing pretty well because of people that come there, vacation there and stuff, and they keep Havana really beautiful. You get out of the big city, get out of their showcase city. And I mean, I have some people and I know some people that have been there. And they've snuck past the city limits and they've gone out to the more rural areas. And do you know what they do? The communists have such a control. Nobody's really allowed to eat meat except what the government gives them. Okay? So if they want meat, it has to be black market meat and they have to sneak it in. And they have to cook and eat it before even anybody smells it in the air and tracks it down to whoever's home or business it's in. They basically give them plantains, you know those big fat bananas? Plantains. So bananas and rice are basically the staples to eat. And so for the most part, that's what they eat. You know, there might be some other things, of course, that they might be able to grow and hide and keep from the government and everything, but that's basically it. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. Would you like to be forced to live in a, you know, pretty much a mud house, no paved roads, junk cars, and forced to eat rice and bananas all day, every day, because the government says so? And if you're lucky enough to get meat, you got to get it, cook it, eat it, and clean up fast. You know, I like to sit down and enjoy my steak. I like to sit down and enjoy my chicken legs. So I would be really upset and hurt and frustrated and angry if they, here, I got, you know, 3 ounces of pork. Just eat it fast. Before they smell it and they catch you, you can go to jail. There's that little clip that's kind of a joke. Right to jail, right to jail. Eat the meat, right to jail, right to jail. Eat some fish, right to jail, right to jail. Eat more than 2 bananas, right to jail, or right to jail. And that's the way they run things there. The people are very, very oppressed. China's the same way. Beijing is a beautiful city. Beautiful city. I'll admit that. I've been there. Beautiful city. And it's very clean. and it looks very nice, and you wonder what everybody complaining about. But then you get outside of Beijing. You get out into the farming communities, into the rural areas. I can't even say that word. And you realize that's like smoke and mirrors. That's just smoke and mirrors. They treat these people horrible. And if they try to have a church or go to church or do anything that the government doesn't sanction, right to jail. Right to jail. Oh, yes, right to jail. You know, oh, we just want to say thank you, Jesus. Oh, right to jail. We want to pray. Right to jail. We want to eat what we want to eat. Right to jail. We want to work where we want to work. Right to jail. It's horrible, ladies and gentlemen. It's horrible the way they treat these people. And there's people here in America that think that that's a great system. It's a garbage system. You know, because look at, so Maduro, who's working with all these communists, basically a communist himself and running the country in a very much of a communist, socialist manner. What happened when the Venezuela people realized that their president had been snatched up? They're in the streets partying. They're in the streets running around, chanting and singing and dancing. It's a huge party. Why? Because the guy that suppressed them for so many years is gone. Now, if communism was so great, would they be partying? Would they be happy? Would they be excited? You see, you liberals, honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you. You liberal people that are against Donald Trump, against his policies, against what he stands for, it's a mental illness. Why? Because Donald Trump, with his policies, his way of doing things, set free an entire nation and basically gave them the right and the want and the desire to throw a huge party nationwide for two things. Maduro's gone, and thank you, President Trump. When I was in Mexico one time during Trump's first presidency, I was in Mexico, and I don't really bring up politics when I'm in other nations because I don't know where they stand. So somebody asked me, a Mexican nationalist, those who were there, hey, how's everything going there? Do you like Trump? And if somebody asked me, because I'm not going to back down. Yeah, we love him. Oh, we love him. He's doing a great job. And goes, that person shakes his head and says, yeah, I like Trump too. We need a President Trump in Mexico. And I was kind of stunned by that, but I'm like, yeah. Every nation does. We need to get back. And this is what Trump is so good at, getting us back to what we really are supposed to be as Americans, as the United States of America. So anyways, back to this. Maduro is taken. Venezuela is partying. Now this is interesting because I want to share this with you. First, let me read. I have a couple things to read to you. And this is going back to 2022. Now, at my church, we're very prophetic, you know, and if I feel like I have a prophetic word, I'll just get up and I'll give the prophetic word, share it with everybody. So back in 2022, I prophesied this. This is from March 13th, 2022. Now, this is the notes that a young lady in the church jotted down as I'm prophesying. I don't know that we have it on recording or not. I didn't go looking, but she remembered this. Found them, sent them to us after this whole thing with Venezuela went down. So it's not, you know, super in detail. She was just jotting down some of the highlights here. So here it is. Prophecy from March 13, 2022. Watch for Cubans in Venezuela to bring a shift and change, political and spiritual movement. People from south of the border will save America. There's a revolution in Cuba, a rejoicing in Florida over Cuba, shouts, parades, dancing, fireworks. Cuba is going to become a major player. The shift and change that is going to take place in Cuba, they will show what needs to take place in American and Russian and Ukrainian and Chinese soil. And isn't it interesting in that? Because like I said, that was back in 2022, that America, Russia, Ukraine, and China were all thrown in there with this connection to Cuba. I found that interesting. And then Brazil, radical shift in Brazilian Mardi Gras carnival, where God is bringing in righteousness. And February 2023, something is so precious is taking place. Something is going to break in that time and event, a radical shift, deep hunger. So when she sent that to me, I said, February 23, I prophesied in 2022 that in 2023, around their Mardi Gras time, something precious was taking place. And So I went and I looked it up. I just went back and I Googled it. I did a little research the other day, and I found that around Mardi Gras time, or during Mardi Gras time in Brazil, there was major flooding in the north part of Brazil, major flooding. And it was sad, but 65 people lost their life. But it was also something that came, that was their first Mardi Gras after the whole COVID nonsense. It's the first Mardi Gras, the first time that they were allowed to go out into the streets and have their parties and do their events and such for Mardi Gras. And they had great flooding at that time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who know kind of biblical symbolism and such, floods represent cleansing, among other things. It represents destruction, but a cleansing. You know, it's destroying or washing away the dirt, the filth, the garbage. It's a type, if you will, of baptism. And it's a cleansing. So Brazil in 2023, around Mardi Gras time, or at Mardi Gras time, you know, one of their most wicked, if you will, holidays, I'm not even sure why they do it, but one of their wicked, most wicked events, because of all the nonsense and the perversion mixed into it, also was flooded, and there was a type of cleansing. It's like God was making a radical statement to Brazil. I wish they got it. Maybe they didn't, but nonetheless. But that also tells me what was launched in 2023. Revival. Not, you know, I don't even like revival because, anyways, a move of God, let's put it that way, sparked by a cleansing at their most perverted time. And God's moving, God's doing a work. There's something much more spiritual and deep going on in Brazil since that time. And I'm not saying it was all because I gave a word. No, it was in the spirit, I'm hearing it, I'm picking up, I'm prophesying it, and God's bringing it to pass. So we know what's happening in the earth. We know what's happening in Venezuela because several, and we're still looking for them, but I gave several prophecies about Venezuela. I've never been there. I don't know much about Venezuela until I know more now about it just because of what's going on than I did before. But let me also read to you a young man in the church by the name of Andre. He gave a prophecy. Now, this is interesting because on Tuesday night is our Bible study. And on Tuesdays for weeks, we were focusing on prophecy. Now, we weren't focusing on prophecy like end time prophecy and different Bible prophecies that still needed to be fulfilled. And we were focusing on training ourselves to prophesy, to hear the word of the Lord and then put his word into words and prophesy. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that there's a lot of Christians out there that don't even believe that that's possible today. You're on the wrong side of it then. It is very possible. And I have proof right here if you're willing to receive it. So Andre was in that class. I would speak for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe a little bit more, on prophecy and giving some protocols and guidelines on it, because I've been around it my whole life, literally. So I have a little bit of wisdom on it. So I was just teaching on that. And then we would do different exercises to kind of stir it up. One of the exercises that I did was I printed up outlines, just simple outlines of several countries. I think there was six of them, I believe there was. One of them was Venezuela. I just picked it because it was one of those countries that is very difficult to tell which country it is just by looking at the outline. There was nothing describing that this is this country. And I split up everybody into small groups and I handed them out and I said, okay, you don't have to know what country this is. I just want you to pray, look at that, pray, and ask God to give you a word, some insight, something about that country. And of course, well, what country is it? You don't need to know that. You just need to hear God. Anyway, so Andre had Venezuela. And so he stands up when it was his turn to share. And everybody did great, by the way. Everybody did great. Everybody had something that was profound about the nation that they were praying over. And they even was like, wow, that was really great. You know, I was hearing this, and that. And I prophesy it. And that's exactly what's going on in this country. Well, with Venezuela, this is what Andre said, and I transcribed it from a recording that I have. This is a prophecy about Venezuela by Andre. And I don't want to give his last name because I didn't get permission. Anyways, it says, I'm hearing in the spirit Venezuela wanted a Saul. So I gave them a Saul in the form of the political ideology they were shouting out for. If they could go that route in one generation, cannot I turn it around in a generation myself? Is what I hear God saying. I am raising up a remnant of people. Venezuela is coming forth. The incense and the prayers are filling for Venezuela. And I kind of see it even circling from Venezuela at the top, going down to Chile, Peru, touching Colombia, all the way of South America, kind of like that, counterclockwise, in a counterclockwise manner. I see a manifestation of the Spirit taking place, and God is really highlighting Venezuela in this time. Even though they wanted this Saul, he gave that to them. But again, he is saying, I can turn this nation around in a generation. And there are young children I see that have hearts on fire right now that he's really raising up, that he has set aside almost like a remnant in that nation that's going to truly impact a lot, if not all, South America. I know that there's some profound things happening in Brazil. It might even be some type of correlation happening there. I see a time frame, I hear that clearly. I missed that transliteration part right there. Anyways, I don't see a time frame. So in other words, he wasn't sure when this was going to take place. That was just a few weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, before all this went down. That was just before the new year, before all this went down. So he was picking up in the spirit some things that was going on in Venezuela. Now, what's so interesting about this, this is one of our young men that's growing in the prophetic. So he was hitting it, pretty clearly. And all of these things that are in there, that are touched on in there, it's true, and it's happening. The Venezuelan people, even especially the young people, are like rejoicing and excited about their future again, and excited about their country, and excited about where they are going and what they will be doing. This is a great thing, ladies and gentlemen. And what's so interesting, he mentions Brazil in there and other nations in that South America, in that counterclockwise manner in South America. But Brazil was mentioned as well. And even Brazil, the president of Brazil rose up and was really condemning Donald J. Trump and the United States for doing what they did. And Trump made a statement, well, maybe Brazil's next, maybe one of these other guys are next. I don't know. Let's see. My point is, it's like right now, that whole part of the world is in topsy-turvy. Why? I'm not saying they are all working together, but some of them were working together, and some were so excited that this happened. Some presidents and some of these people in these countries are so excited because they were feeling the pressure that Venezuela was bringing in all of this nonsense. So it's a great day, ladies and gentlemen. It really is a great day. So was it about the oil? Not really. It was about putting a stop to Russia, putting a stop to China, putting a stop to Cuba, and putting a stop to any of these little tin horn presidents and countries that have been working with Venezuela. And that, in one swoop, was all broken. In one swoop. Now, are they going to try to put it together again? Yes. But we now have control of the oil. So we have the final say. Again, from what I understand, Cuba is really hurting right now for a lack of oil, lack of gasoline, and good. I want to see that communist terrorist president come down and a good president rise up in Cuba. It's a beautiful place. It's being wasted by these communists. You people that think communism is a good thing, literally, and I'm serious about this, go to your psychiatrist, or as Ricky Ricardo used to say, physiatrist, get some meds, and go sit in the corner and suck your thumbs. Because anybody that misses it that much to actually think communism is good on any level, you really have some mental problems. I'm serious. You have some serious mental issues. And from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of my heart, I'm saying this with as much love as I possibly can give you at this moment. Go get help. Go get help. Anyways, now, let's see, where am I? Is this it? Oh, yeah. Some other things to talk about, just briefly. Like I said, I wish I had more time to get into some of this. This is just, some of this stuff is really great, like Maduro being taken, but the frustration, you know, ICE is still at large. ICE, ladies and gentlemen, ICE, baby. Anyways, ICE is still at large in the United States, but especially in Minnesota. So ICE is in Minnesota. So ICE, in the last few days, actually, unfortunately, shot a woman. She died. Tragedy, because human life is taken. But let me give you a little backstory on that, because I'm sure you've already heard this. I'm sure this is all over your news feed, all over social media, and you're wondering what in the world happened because of the way many in the media is spinning this. But you're going to get it right here, ladies and gentlemen. So ICE was in Minnesota. You guys also have heard about the Somali daycares. Okay, so the Somali daycare, Somalis, oh, we welcome them in our country, and what do? How do they thank us? By getting a job and starting to become and integrate into American culture and life? No, they rob us blind. So they started setting up these daycare centers, these Somali, Muslim Somalis, immigrants, they start setting up daycare centers. Well, these daycare centers was getting federal money. So they were taking your money, my money, to run a daycare center. I don't know why they didn't make the parents of the children pay. Oh, I do know. Because there are no children. So they were taking money, and not just one daycare, but with all these daycares, to the tune of billions of dollars, and there was no children in them. So they were taking money for a daycare center to take care of children, but there were no children. And so this gentleman, oh, what's his name? I should have been prepared better. But anyways, this reporter, this undercover reporter goes and he does this research and finds out none of them have children in them. But he had all the documentation. You're taking like 1.62 million and there's no children. Where are the kids? And they would literally have the doors locked in them. They were threatened. They are followed around. They are filmed. They were threatened. And from what I understand, the guy's still getting threatened. Anyway, so they were breaking that open. So now they were going after the Somalis anyways, but this really ramped up ICE and our immigration police to go get rid of the illegal Somalis in Minnesota. There was a ton of them. So they were out doing their work. And now there was this lady in a car. This is the way it was spun. A lady in a car who dropped her kid off at school and just was driving away, normal. An ICE officer approached her. You see it in this video. We do not know what the ICE officer said to her. But she stopped for that ICE officer, had a brief exchange with him, and then took off driving. Well, as she started driving, she turned to her right. And then around on the left side of the car, another ICE officer appears out of nowhere and just starts shooting her dead. The car rolls into another car. And now the left, of course, is freaking out about this. The media is freaking out about Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota. Yes, and forgive me for this because I don't like to be crude, but they call him Tampon Tim for a reason. The governor of Minnesota was one who ordered tampon machines put into boys' bathrooms on high school campuses. So Tampon Tim is having a field day with this because he is under scrutiny, investigation with these Somali daycares and such. ICE is over there doing their work, getting rid of the Somali illegals to help with all of this, and this woman gets shot in the middle of it. Okay. Now, that's bad. Please don't misunderstand me. I do not rejoice in the death of a human being. I do not rejoice in this at all. I think it's heartbreaking and heart-wrenching that this woman was killed. It is. No matter what I think, beyond that, that is a horrible, horrible, horrible tragedy. Turns out, she actually did hit an ICE officer. At the angle that the media is showing, you don't see that the ICE officer that shot her until the whole thing goes down. But at another angle, she hits the ICE officer. And the reason he's sort of almost flung, he kind of sort of jumps and moves and sort of flung onto the left side of her car as he's shooting at her, because she had already hit him, bumped him over there and hit him. And I don't know if she was just dropping her kid off at school close by or not, but her her wife, yes, I said that correctly, ladies and gentlemen, she was married to another woman. Her wife was in the car, apparently. And so the ICE officer shoots the driver, and her name is, oh, what was her name? Oh, Renee Nicole Good. So the ICE officer shoots Renee. She apparently passed away really fast. And after the car stops, hits another car and stops, and the dust kind of settles, her wife, I have a hard time saying that because I know it's not legitimate. Certainly, if it's not legitimate with God, it's not legitimate, period. But for argument's sake, just so you understand what's going on here, her wife was in the car still yelling, I made her come down here. It's my fault. She was yelling, I made her come down here. It's my fault. Well, what was going on? There was protests and everything in the area, riot kind of things going on, protesting ICE, who was rounding up these Somalis and trying to help in all of these investigations and such to bring peace to Minnesota. This woman gets shot by an ICE agent after the woman drove into the same ICE agent. She drove into him. She hit him with her car. He shot. She died. This woman's wife starts yelling, I made her come down here. It's my fault. And this is what's going on in Minnesota, of course. That just sets off the liberals. Now, here's the hypocrisy of liberals. If you're a liberal, a Democrat, or somebody who is like, let me just paint this picture. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. No matter what angle you look at, Charlie Kirk was unarmed, sitting in a chair in front of a microphone, having civil conversation with people on a college campus, and some lunatic assassinates him in front of everybody. And the left immediately starts throwing a party. It was disgusting. The liberal mind is a perverse mind. The liberal mind is a wicked mind. The liberal mind is an evil mind. Liberals were rejoicing, having a great time almost immediately. When the camera was still rolling at that event, some liberal man jumped in front of the camera and was like gyrating around like he's dancing in joy after what he just witnessed. He just witnessed a man get murdered who was doing nothing. He wasn't stopping ICE. He wasn't stopping federal police. He wasn't stopping any police. He wasn't stopping an investigation. He wasn't keeping police officers from doing their job by ending or stopping crime. He was having civil conversation, and he was assassinated. He was murdered for it. And the liberals went nuts, partying, talking, and they're still talking about it. Disgusting pigs, still talking about it, still rejoicing over it. Okay, now, contrast this. The liberals are all up in arms over ICE, and especially this agent, over this woman being shot. And again, I don't rejoice in that. I don't rejoice in that. This is a human being that was killed. But the liberals are now so angry and demanding this guy's head on a stick, demanding Trump to resign, demanding ICE to be not just out of Minnesota, but abolished completely and stop what they're doing, because one of their own was shot by ICE after one of their own drove her car into an ICE agent. Now, regardless of why she was down there dropping off her kid, some have suggested that I saw a little video clip earlier. I just couldn't corroborate it yet, but I saw a clip where a woman was suggesting, oh no, she was the leader of our group. She was leading the pack, stopping ICE cars or the cars, you know, their trucks and such from driving down the street. And that's honestly what it looked like to me, you know. what it looked like to me. I'm not an expert in that, but I can see when a car hits an ICE agent. I can see that. You don't need to be an expert on that. So she gets killed by an ICE agent, and they're freaking out, demanding ICE be abolished, Trump resign, and this, they want this guy's head on a stick, this ICE agent's head on a stick. Complete hypocrites. Double-minded, wicked hypocrites. Because Charlie Kirk, they rejoice over when he was assassinated, and all he was doing is having civil conversation. But they are up in arms over this innocent woman that was shot and killed by an ICE agent, even though she rammed him with her car. The double-mindedness, the wickedness of the liberal mind is just, I don't understand, and I don't want to understand it. I really don't want to understand it, because I'd have to think like them to understand them. But suffice it to say, it is evil, it is wicked, it is unrighteous. Doesn't even make sense, but that's the liberal left. That's Tim Walz and his party. That's what he stands for. That's Kamala Harris. Thank God we dodged a bullet. No pun intended, but we dodged a bullet when Kamala and Tim Walz lost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Anybody with half a mind that voted for them and think that they would have been a good, oh my God, this country would have been wrecked already. It would have been Venezuela all over again. Thank God we dodged that bullet. Tim Walz, Kamala Harris, and you know, it goes, you could trace this all the way back to President Clinton. Yeah, President Clinton, I feel your pain. The double-mindedness, the wickedness, the things that went on, now it's just blatant. It's out in the streets. Now they just put it on display. But all that stuff started way back when, and probably you could trace it back even further in the Democrat Party. But Bill Clinton really is one who really turned some nasty stuff on America. I'll never forget, again, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, when who was it? When President Clinton ran his terms, couldn't run anymore, and we had a new president, I remember Rush Limbaugh said, yeah, what are they going to do on the first day? Oh, they're gonna go in there with the rubber gloves up to their elbows, mops, and disinfectant just to clean the Oval Office after Clinton was in there. And it was a joke, but I'm like, yeah, if I was the president coming in after Clinton, it would not be a joke. That would be reality. I myself would be working with the staff, cleaning that whole entire White House and washing it down with a black light, if you know what I mean, because that dude was scummy, still is, you know, and so thank God we have someone like Trump in there. And I know you guys, oh, he was on Epstein 9. He was Epstein. Gosh, shut up. He was not. But Clinton was many, 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 many times. And you guys seem to give Clinton a pass and all the Democrats a pass. But you're really going after a Trump. I mean, it's a double-minded, wicked mentality. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. You know, so anyways, back to this. So this is going on. This is what's gone on just in the first 8 days of this new year. And again, I do not rejoice in this lady getting killed. Not at all. But, you know, for anybody else out there, there's a pretty, you know, it's almost 100%. It's so close to 100% that you could say it's 100%. But if you don't want to get shot by ICE, stay away from them. If you don't want to get shot by the police, mind your business, obey the laws. And if an officer of the law, federal, state, local, doesn't matter, if an officer of the law gives a command, do it. If they say roll down your window, roll down your window. If they say stop your vehicle, stop your vehicle. If they say show me some ID, show them some ID. You're like, well, what if they're breaking the law? You take care of that in court. Out on the streets with all that chaos and all that madness, the rioting and all that craziness going on, and he's got the gun, and you're being belligerent, not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Listen, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's much easier to get shot that way. You don't want to get shot by police? Just do what you're told. Don't be there in the first place. Now, I'll go to a good protest. when I agree in it with it, and I know it's solid, and I know it's right. I'm not saying we should outlaw protesting. I'm saying there's a big difference between standing on the side of the road, chanting and holding a sign, and then getting up in federal agents' faces. I've seen this. I've seen these videos. I've even been around some of these things, like in LA and such, where some of these protesters will get in the faces of our cops, spit on them, throw rocks at them, throw bottles at them, cuss them out, and then the cops are what, just supposed to stand there? See, if I was president, these so-called protesters wouldn't be allowed to do that. You want to protest? Protest. Say something, but don't get up in somebody's face. Don't get up in those officers' face. Don't bump them with your car. Don't try to block traffic. Protest like you're supposed to. Once you start getting physical or violent on any level, all bets are off. I'm sorry. All bets are off. Our police officers on every level are very well trained in many ways, but even in restraint. And I watch some of these guys and I say, I couldn't be that restrained. I couldn't. I just couldn't, you know. But anyways. So ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Some of the things that have been going on in the first 8 days of the new year. Some really, 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 really powerful ways. Because even this, and again, I my heart is broken over this young lady getting killed. It really is. It really is. Nobody should face that. Nobody. You know. It's just one of those. It's one of those things, though. Do I agree with her being shot? Well, I wasn't that officer. Did he have the right? I'm telling you, yes. Unfortunately, he did. She bumped him, rammed him with the car. He was defending himself, and he was defending everybody else there. Saying, "No, no, no. She was just trying to get away." How do you know? Just like how did he know? He just got hit with a car. In his mind, somebody used a weapon against him. And how are they trained? To defend themselves for themselves and for all the other people around them. So it was heartbreaking nonetheless. But you know, this is actually, it's going to flip. You watch, give it a little bit of time, and it's going to hurt the liberals more than help the liberals. It's going to hurt Tim Walz more than it's going to help Tim Walz. It's going to hurt the governor of Minnesota. Wait, governor, mayor, I don't know, whoever he was. There was another guy out there. Oh, yeah, get the blank out of here, ICE. You know, it's going to hurt him more than help him. And because we're going to get this country back. We're going to get it back, wrestle it out of the hands of the wicked, get it back into the hands of the righteous, and we're going to get our country back. Okay? And anybody standing in the way, I'm sorry. They're either going to be deported or imprisoned. And anyway, so I really hope and pray that you have a blessed year, a great year, and that if ICE starts popping in around you, don't stop what they're doing. Let them do their job. Let them do their job. You know, so you don't get hurt, they don't get hurt, and everybody can make it home safe. So God bless you all. My prayers are with you. I love you. And you have a fantastic year.
Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.